Good afternoon. I'm Ben Brown. You're listening to A Juno Afternoon. Today we're going to have Kevin Meyer on from the UAS Sustainability Committee talking about a screening of Uprivers, a preview of this weekend's Symphony Showcase with Sally Schlichting, and Ted Murphy Kelly, a visiting Audubon speaker from Whitehorse. Megan Chambers from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council will be here to talk about Arts Up and what's going on art-wise in Juno. And all that, of course, after National Native News. So stay tuned for this Juno Afternoon on Thursday, the 15th of March, the Ides of March.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal health care representatives testified Wednesday before the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs about opioids in Indian country. They say it's putting a strain on law enforcement, health care, other services, and the overall well-being of Native communities. Jolene George, the behavioral health director of the Port Gamble Squallam Tribe, told senators every family on the reservation has been impacted by opioids, saying the crisis is hurting already scarce resources. The tribe implemented a plan which includes preventing misuse, overdose, and treatment. Senators pledged to prioritize the issue and work to address funding needs. This week, tribal college students from across the country competed in a number of educational and sporting events and Native games in Bismarck, North Dakota. The gathering is held in different cities each year. Concerns were raised about the location due to tensions from the Dakota Access Pipeline. Tribal, state, and federal officials have been working on rebuilding relationships since the opposition camps were cleared out in 2017. As Rhonda Lavaldo reports, tribal educators say keeping the event in North Dakota was an educational opportunity.
The American Indian Higher Education Consortium, or AHEC, represents 37 schools across Indian country, and they meet once a year to compete in academic, athletic, and cultural events. This year's conference theme of Standing United sought to resolve apprehension on the choice of Bismarck. Jennifer Woodhull, Sitting Bull College student, didn't realize it was a big issue.
I wasn't worried about it at all until I talked to a couple of other girls from other tribes and how they were worried about it. So now I'm thinking about all of that racist stuff, but it doesn't bother me because I'm not like that. I don't think racist thoughts or anything, so I don't know. I just pray for everybody that nothing happens.
Turtle Mountain Community College President Dr. Jim Davis commented that the five North Dakota schools hosting made sure this conference would be a success.
There was some concern that because of DAPL, there would be some issues, concerns about the people, its safety. But I had a chance to talk with the mayor of Bismarck and Mandan about 2-3 months ago, and they were saying things are really normal, there was nothing to be concerned about. The North Dakota Tribal College president said this is a time for us, a teachable moment, if you know what that is. We could put together an agenda, a program that would educate the people in and around this part of North Dakota.
AHEC is slated to be in Montana in 2019. This is Rhonda Lavaldo for National Native News.
South Dakota State Basketball Tournament is going on this weekend. Tribal schools from across the state are competing, as South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
South Dakota is in its second year of a round of 16 format. Teams were once paired by regions, with the possibility of tournament-caliber teams playing each other to qualify for state. With the new method, two schools from Pine Ridge have qualified for South Dakota's Class A tournament. Red Cloud and Pine Ridge High Schools are in the tournament field together for the first time. Red Cloud coach Christian McGee says his team would enjoy playing Pine Ridge in a state tournament atmosphere.
These kids grow up together. They're related. They know each other. It's a healthy rivalry more than anything, but it's always a good game no matter what the records are with us. So it's going to be a fun time. If we can match up with them, that would be an awesome thing.
Crow Creek High School is also at the Class A tournament. In the small school division, the tribal school from the Lower Brule Reservation is at state for the first time in its history. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Quantic Broadcast Corporation. funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by Ramona Farms, offering wholesome and delicious foods from our heirloom crops as our contribution to a better diet for the benefit of all people. We are honored to share our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions online at ramonafarms.com. Support by BNSF Railway, moving our economy for over 165 years. Our vision is to operate injury and accident-free with safety programs, training, and technology. More at bnsf.com/tribal relations.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
And it is about 6 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juneau Afternoon. Today is Thursday, the 15th of March. Our first guest today is Kevin Meyer, and he's here on behalf of the UAS Sustainability Committee. So, Kevin, welcome to a Juneau Afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
And I know all of our listeners know what UAS is, but I'm going to guess some of them, or many of them perhaps even, don't know what the Sustainability Committee is. So please go ahead and tell us a little bit about that to start off.
Sounds good. So UAS is way out in Auk Bay, you know, that long drive out there. No, so the Sustainability Committee, for about the last 12 years, this is a faculty group primarily that has been working on thinking about ways to make the university basically greener. So we've done a couple of national rankings to see where we stack up against other universities in terms of our energy use, in terms of all the kind of social, environmental issues. The good news is we do pretty well. But the faculty committee is always working on keeping people aware of how to be better. So that, I think that's our primary charge.
How long has the Sustainability Committee been in existence?
Since 2007 or so. It was based on a conference that we hosted in the spring of 2007, and out of that we thought, wait, there's a gap here. There's no committee that's working on these issues on an ongoing basis. So
they don't solve themselves. You know, Juneau, of course, has a commission on sustainability that I don't even think has been in existence as long as your committee at the university.
They're almost about the same time that they both came online, and we typically have had a member on each. It's been a couple of years since we've had that overlap, and we're working on that, too.
So. Very good. So what are some of the projects the Sustainability Committee is working on currently?
So this year we're thinking quite a bit about food and fish and the future. That was sort of the theme for the year. That's primarily been in the form of, I mean, there's boring stuff like getting the committee together to talk about just efficiencies on campus. But the other thing we like to do is keep students and the community engaged in the broader issues that are facing Southeast Alaska and facing the kind of campus community. So we're hosting this film series this spring. In the fall, we participated in a couple of student-run conferences, in particular the Power and Privilege Conference in November, which was really, really rewarding and fun.
So, and what was the Power and Privilege Conference about? I actually missed that.
So second annual. It happened last year, the day after Election Day, which was interesting. And it's student-led. Students said, you know what, we need to be talking about the systems of power and privilege that are driving every day-to-day life on campus. And so they actually, the student government and the Student Activities Board, put together this really fantastic full-day event, drew in lots of community partners, like AWARE this year was a big group, and faculty and student presentations. And ours were primarily about food and sustainability. So, yeah.
Very good. So what films have already been screened in the film series, and what are coming up?
So the last one was Chasing Coral, which, like Chasing Ice, is a kind of a look into, you know, vanishing coral reefs as a function of climate change. So I think it was the same filmmaker. I actually was out of town for that one. And the one that I'm most excited about is the one that I'm here to pitch, and that's a brand new documentary entitled Up Rivers. We're going to be screening it for the first time in Juneau, and really the first time in Southeast is Tuesday down in Ketchikan, and we'll have the second screening. So Thursday, March 29th at 7 p.m. at UAS. And Up Rivers is a documentary that Jackson Matthew, a filmmaker out of Sitka, has been working on for the last year, tracing and kind of thinking through community responses to transboundary mines that are in development upstream of our major king salmon producers in Southeast Alaska. So,
and that's obviously an issue that has been pretty widely discussed. Lieutenant Governor Malott and his staff have spent a lot of time talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we still don't have the government-to-government relationship going on. We still don't have the United States Department of State involved in the way that some folks would like. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And it sounds like, you know, the good news out of D.C. lately is that Sullivan's beginning to become interested in it, too. Lisa's done a lot of work on it, which is great. I'm less sure about Don Young, but definitely it's a movement from the Alaska delegation to move this sort of up the chain to the, you know, the federal level and the international level to begin negotiations on it.
Well, it's certainly, a lot of people don't understand why that makes a difference. They think, oh, Justin Trudeau is the Prime Minister of Canada and just everything's going to be fine. But so much power is devolved to the provinces in Canada, it really matters who's running British Columbia more than who's running things out of Ottawa.
That is exactly right. And that's been the interesting part of working on this international campaign is that they're moving targets. And even though we're very close to Canada, we don't often know what's going on there. I mean, your response there reveals a level of sophistication that, you know, most people in Southeast Alaska don't really have. So
this is a chance for them to learn about that, and it's going to be 2 weeks from tonight out at UAS, probably in the Egan Library in the screening hall there?
It's in the lecture hall, mm-hmm, in Egan 112. And the cool thing about the film, the filmmaker will actually be here to lead a panel discussion after, and the two protagonists will be as well. So Jacinda Mack, both Indigenous women, and Carrie James will be here. Jacinda Mack's from just downstream of the very famous Mount Polly Dam breach and has been in Juneau before. She's a really dynamic speaker. And then Carrie James is from Ketchikan, and she's been working on this on the UNIC. And, I haven't yet seen the film. It's just now getting finished, I understand, but both those women seem really powerful, so it'd be great to have them on board.
All right, well, this is Kevin Meyer we're talking to from the UAS Sustainability Committee, and the film that's going to be screened, it's 2 weeks from tonight, is called Up Rivers. Now, if the film screening is going to be at 7 p.m., the panel discussion will follow?
That's right. The film's about 30 minutes, and actually preceding the film, my colleague out at UAS, Lance Twitchell, who's an Alaska Native Languages professor, will lead a short, or actually his second-year Tlingit students will lead a short Tlingit language workshop, too, learning some fishy terms and learning some Tlingit for how to talk about fish.
Is there information about the Lance's pre-seminar and then the film itself and the panel discussion on the UAS website?
It is on the calendar, and the other way, we have a Facebook group or Facebook event, rather, for Up Rivers that's going around. So.
Very good. Okay, well, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners, Kevin?
No, that sounds great.
Okay, well, I want to thank Kevin Meyer again from the University of Alaska Southeast Sustainability Committee, which is involved in a host of activities to make the campus greener and more sustainable, but specifically has a film series going on with an upcoming film 2 weeks from tonight called Up Rivers. Go to the UAS website or the Sustainability Committee's Facebook page to learn more.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and I hope you have a lot of people show up in 2 weeks, and you've got plenty of time to publicize it.
We're working on it.
Very good. Thanks
right.
again.
Thanks, Ben.
It's about 17 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Thursday, the 15th of March. That was a piece called Los Ojos by El Dorado, Luna Blanca El Dorado. So, kind of crazy, kind of irreverent, and kind of fun for the Ides of March. Our next guest today is Sally Schlichting, here to talk about Symphony Showcase.
Thank you, Ben.
And so, what are we looking forward to at the Symphony Showcase this weekend?
Oh, we've got some really great selections for chamber music this weekend. We've got Flutatious is going to play a great piece by Satoshi Yagasawa, is a Japanese, Nuke Japanese composer. We've got a brass trio by Poulenc. We've got some really unusual pieces based on Greek dances that are going to be performed by Beth Leibowitz and Rob Cohen. And a piano sonata by Beethoven performed by John Hayes on piano. And he's also going to join our principal clarinetist, Megan Watson, on a fabulous, flamboyant, flourishing piece by Luigi Bassi that's a fantasy based on Rigoletto by Verdi. So
that's a very diverse selection of pieces.
It is.
Were you responsible for selecting those?
No, I'm not. And that's kind of the one of the nice things about the showcase is the musicians, this is up to them to pick out their pieces and work on them and put them on the program. So it's always quite a variety.
And so you don't actually have to go out of your way to make it eclectic, because when you have people self-selecting their pieces, that probably just happens.
It just happens, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, where in the season does the Symphony Showcase fall?
It's about, oh, I'd say two-thirds in. So we've already had two concerts in the main season, and we have two after this as well.
And what are the specific times and venues and ticket information for this weekend?
So for this weekend, the performance Saturday night is going to be at 8 p.m. at Aldersgate Methodist Church out in the valley on Cinema Drive. And Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Northern Light United Church. And that's, of course, in town. Tickets are available at the door or at Hearthside Books, The Jack, as well as online.
At jahc.org?
Yes, or Juno Symphony, actually, junosymphony.org. So,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, but I think both, actually. Because
probably right.
Well, since I work over there, I think I've seen them selling through Vendini. Yes.
It's at the Jack, yeah, correct. That's correct.
And so it'll be the same program Saturday evening out in the valley and Sunday afternoon here downtown.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we might have a surprise on the program. It's still yet to be determined. So there might be a little bit extra music as well.
Oh, that's very exciting. Just really quickly for our listeners, do a rundown of the pieces and the composers once again.
Sure. The pieces are Coloratura by Satoshi Yagasawa, the Sonata for Horn, Trumpet, and Trombone by Francis Poulenc. That'll be performed by Bill Pollack, Rick Trostel, and Jared Lear on horn, trumpet, and trombone. Three Greek Dances by Cy Brandon, Beth Leibowitz, and Robert Cohen. And a piano sonata, I think it's number opus 29 or 26, by Beethoven, performed by John Hayes. And then the Fantasy de Concerto su Morivi del Rigoletto of Verdi by Luigi Bassi, and that'll be performed by Megan Watson on clarinet and John Hayes on piano.
Outstanding. And then, as you said a moment ago, possibly one more piece added to that, already
one
exciting.
One or two or three more.
Oh, goodness.
Little pieces, maybe. So we'll just have to see. I'm very excited.
Enticing. That's enticing. Mm-hmm. Not knowing what you're going to be able to listen to. Well, I wanted to play the sonata, the trio by Poulenc, but unfortunately the CDs and the music library here were in a bit of a state of disarray. So if anyone listening is responsible for that, and you know where any of the Poulenc discs are, you could call me and let me know or send me an email. But if I can find it and play it this hour, Sally, I will certainly do so.
Great.
Anything else you'd like to share? What's actually coming up next in the season after this?
Next is we're going to be doing the Foray Requiem in April, and that'll be with the Symphony Chorus. That's the Juno Symphony all together with the Juno Symphony Chorus and a couple other pieces, English Folk Song Suite by Ralph Vaughan Williams and a piece by Arthur Honegger. It's going to be a nice program. So that'll be coming up next.
Excellent. Well, we are, of course, very grateful to the Juno Symphony for being such a wonderful part of our artistic infrastructure here in Juno, and for having a variety of programming, the full concert series and then the Symphony Showcase that's a little smaller and, as we were discussing a moment ago, eclectic and even erratic and even full of surprises.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for being on a Juno Afternoon.
Great. Thank you, Ben.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
This is Bird Note. Walking on eggshells. When we use that term, we usually mean dealing with something fragile, a delicate situation. But eggs, or at least chicken eggs, are far from fragile. Take off any rings you might be wearing and try this. Grab an egg from the refrigerator and place it in the center of your palm. Wrap your fingers around it and squeeze. If you're like most people, you can just put the egg whole back in the refrigerator. The eggshell is truly one of nature's wonders. Think of it. It has to be strong enough to withstand the weight of an adult bird during incubation. But the tiny, weak baby bird inside has to be able to peck its way out. So, is there any truth to the old story that if you touch a bird's eggs, the bird will abandon the nest? Nope. But we absolutely discourage disturbing any bird's nest. You don't want to alert those wily nest raiders, the crows and jays, to that well-kept secret. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
It is 23 minutes, 23 and a half minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today is the Ides of March, Thursday the 15th of March. And Alan Davis and Colette Costa
are
now...
Beware the Ides of March, Ben.
Indeed. Hey, I in no way resemble Julius Caesar.
Well, I'm just saying all politicians beware. I'd say some might stab me in the back, but I think that's... Isn't that in the job platform there?
Exactly. It's that's on a good day.
Yeah.
You know?
How good your stabbing is. Great. You got the job.
Oh, very good. Okay. So turning from stabbing and Caesar references to the Queer Film Festival, Colette and Alan, what's going on with Siegel's Queer Film Festival?
You kill me, Ben Brown. Oh, God, how are you a Republican? I don't get it.
That we'll have to discuss that another day.
That will be a different discussion. Well, once again, the Goldtown Theater is collaborating with CIGLA, which is Southeast Alaska Gay Lesbian Alliance. Is that right?
Or, right. Oh, phew.
That's exactly right.
I always get the A wrong.
Association. Yeah, but no, it's Alliance. It's an alliance.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be putting together another little film series, and Alan has got the titles for us here.
We're doing four films, a couple of them two different nights. So there's six screenings, and there are various nights here. I'm not sure what all to explain about, but one of them is To a More Perfect Union, the U.S. versus Windsor, the story of Edie Windsor and the Supreme Court case that helped establish equal rights for gay marriage.
Absolutely.
The second one is called A Moment in the Reeds, which is a Finnish film.
Is it Finnish? Yeah,
from Finland. And I don't remember if it's subtitled or not. But
I think it's partially in English because it's about an interracial relationship, a homosexual relationship between a Finnish man and a Syrian refugee, and so their common language is English. And so I think it's in a couple, and it's also subtitled as well.
All right.
And it's a new one. It's from last year, I think. And it didn't get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
But it's a little love story kind of thing.
Third one is A Fantastic Woman, which won the Oscar for the Best Foreign Language Film in this 2018 Oscars. Colette has seen it. I don't really know a whole lot
about that one. It was from I think this is the second film from this director, and it's a beautiful film, and it's a story of a transgender woman who has a relationship with an older gentleman who suddenly passes away, and his family, of course, doesn't accept her at all and forcibly rejects her, etc. But she's also a performance artist and a singer. It's just it's a beautiful film. It's beautifully shot, and it kind of goes into these little dream worlds every so often. And it's just a terrific film.
And where did you get to see it?
I have a preview of it. So I'm actually picking up A Fantastic Woman as my next feature film. So it'll open on Friday, and I'll be playing it for the next two weekends. But the Thursday night show on the 22nd is going to be part of the festival, so the proceeds from that night will go towards the Sigla film series. So that specific night is for Sigla, and then the rest of them are my regular shows through the weekend.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole festival is basically a fundraiser for Sigla.
Okay, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then our last movie.
The last of four, part of the Sigla Queer Film Festival, is... the envelope, please.
From 30 years ago, Torch Song Trilogy.
Indeed.
This is the 30th anniversary, and we were just comparing notes. We both saw it on the first run 30 years ago.
I was a child. Mere child toy.
And tell listeners a little bit about the history of Torch Song Trilogy. It did not originate as a film, did it?
No, it was a Broadway show.
By Harvey Firestein.
But yeah.
Yeah. Right.
The good Harvey.
Well, exactly. That poor guy, I'm sure he's smacked a few people upside the head in the past few months.
He's got a lot to deal with.
But basically that's how he became famous, was by writing those plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Writing and performing.
Exactly.
And it won a Tony that year.
For Best New Drama, right? Or I think it was Best Drama, or I don't think it was comedy.
Let's see. Well, I'm trying to look it up on my phone
and
here.
And then he went on to do the film adaptation, and I think one of the big breakouts for that film was it was one of the first movies that Matthew Broderick was sort of trying to be a grown up in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had done Ferris Bueller, and he had done War Games, and he was really trying to push the envelope on being taken seriously as an actor. And he approached Firestein about it, and he was like, yes, I would love you to be in this movie. And, of course, the glorious Anne Bancroft.
Right. And, of course, the funny thing about Matthew Broderick having to try to be taken seriously is he came from a real theatrical family.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And he is a very good actor. I saw him in The Producers on Broadway. When I was living in New York when The Producers debuted on Broadway my last year at law school. So I got to see him at the ultimate preview before opening night. And he was absolutely amazing in that show. He's a very, very good actor. I mean, Ferris Bueller was a great movie. I remember seeing that when I was in high school, too. But it's just tough if you get pigeonholed like that early in your career.
So the screening for Torch Song, we only have one show of that, and it's going to be a big party night. I personally want them to do a 1988 theme, but so far they haven't picked up my hints on that whole thing.
Well, you kind of have some power over the situation, Colette.
I'm just saying I'm going to have a themed costume if you would like to join me, so I'm not the only one wearing neon off-the-shoulder flash dance material.
And leg warmers?
I was never a leg warmer girl. I was not cool enough for that at all.
Right. Well, I think the torn sweatshirt, you know, is enough, right? That's enough to really, or maybe two Lacoste layered with
the
collars.
I can manage a torn sweatshirt. Yeah.
I was doing early square pegs at that point. So anyway, the Torch Song Trilogy 30th anniversary show is the 30th of March at 9 p.m. And you guys are getting it catered, aren't you? Have a little bar set up?
We got a provisional event license to serve alcohol that night.
So that's
gonna be, it's going to be a great night.
That's always good. Booze is always good at the cinema.
Well, especially when you've got Torch Songs being sung.
Yeah, at 9 o'clock.
Exactly.
Know?
Right. So, let's get back to the actual dates and times for these films, because we've gone through what the four films are going to be.
I can go through them in order. Friday the 16th at 9 p.m. is A More Perfect Union, about Edie Windsor. And then on the 20th, that's Tuesday, at 7 p.m., A Moment in the Reeds. On Thursday the 22nd, also at 7 o'clock, is A Fantastic Woman. And then on the 27th, which is, again, a Tuesday at 7 p.m., To a More Perfect Union.
So they each get two shows.
Two shows each night, so eight opportunities to see these four films that are part of the month-long.
No, just six times.
Three of them get two shows.
I've only got...
Oh, that's right. This one only gets one, too. Don't listen to me. I don't know. I just run the place.
That's
come on.
Right. And the math, the math is confusing.
Printed schedule.
Edie Windsor and Fantastic and A Moment in the Reeds both have two shows.
And the other ones only have one. So
Correct. Only
one for Torch Song.
And one for... I mean, there's more opportunities, again, to see Fantastic Woman, but the Thursday, the 22nd show, is specifically for the Sigla fundraiser.
Okay.
And again, on Friday, the 30th at 9 p.m., Torch Song. With,
do you guys
with
have,
the party.
This is on your website, yeah?
Sigla.org.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
My goodness. And eventually it'll be on my website, goldtownnick.com, as soon as I update it.
All right. So go to Siegelag.org today, and then in a day or two, go to goldtownnick.com. And
next week.
You'll figure out, you'll see it when you'll see it, or you won't.
I think that posters up all over town and whatnot. In fact, if you see some, there was a small date change in some of those. They have A Moment in the Reeds listed as the 28th, and it's actually the 20—it's listed as the 27th on some of their things, but it's the 28th.
All right, so always wise to just double-check. Before you head out going anywhere.
I'd say call me, but I never answer that phone, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, don't
call
Colette.
It's just people wanting things.
And don't go to her website yet. Go to Siegel's website for now and just play it safe, people.
You know what it's like. Right. Just show up and just see what I got. It's good stuff.
So, Alan, anything else about Siegla coming up that you want to share with our listeners after the film festival is over and these funds have been raised? How will they be expended in a beneficial manner to help people appreciate our community?
One of the main things we're raising funds for is Pride Week in June. We have, I can't pull it off my head, but there's a number of events. There's a picnic. There's usually a hike. The big event is Glitz,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is the second Saturday, although better check on that. I don't know the date.
Well, my spouse is Emmett, so I should know it off the top of my head.
I
could call him, but he's in Virginia, and he just told me he was going to sleep, so I'm not going to wake him up. But I'm just looking at the map, the calendar for June, and the second weekend is Saturday is the 9th and Sunday is the 10th. That's the weekend that I know the Snow Child is being performed at JDHS.
Cross-pollination.
And I think I actually may be in Denver for Arts Advocacy Week. So.
Ben, this is not, I know you think
anyway.
Everything's about you, but my God.
Well, I just realized I may not be able to use my tickets for Snow Child. So if you're nice, Colette, because I already bought some good ones on the island, row 15. Yeah. Anyhow, Pride Week is a big event every year.
Check the Siegler's website or the Facebook page. But all the information will be there. All of the events and the dates and times for Pride Week will be on there soon.
Excellent. And what's already on there and not on Gold Town's website is information about the Queer Film Festival. Accurate information about the dates and times. Okay, so I think I've kind of pretty much made that point more than it needed to be made.
You can get it fast or you can get it correct. Which one do you want? Exactly.
Okay, so Colette Costa, Alan Davis, anything else you'd like to share about the Siegla Queer
Not
Film Festival?
In public, no. It's a great lineup of films. I will have the information on my website soon enough, jeez. And, come out and see it and support independent businesses.
That sounds great. And, of course, the special screening on the 30th of Torch Song Trilogy with a special event permit, so you can go and have some cocktails and watch a great movie from a blast from the past.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you both for coming
on
the show. Have a good afternoon. That was an aspirational song, Summer Breeze, as we are definitely moving into spring here in Juneau, and summer will follow soon thereafter. Again, by Luna Blanca, an album called El Dorado. Next, here on a Juneau afternoon on the Ides of March, Thursday the 15th, is our two guests to talk about the Audubon Society in Juneau and an upcoming speech. So welcome, Gwen Bayless and Ted Murphy Kelly. To a Juneau afternoon.
Thanks.
Afternoon.
So, Gwen, to start off, will you tell our listeners a little bit about the Audubon Society here in Alaska's capital city?
Well, we're a local nonprofit and have been around for a long time, and we concentrate on birds and conservation of wildlife in southeast Alaska. And one of the things that we do is a lot of educational programs. This is our monthly season where we have one every month, and we're doing it on a different night. It's usually the week earlier, Thursday, but this one is a mid-month, and this will be our monthly program. And we've invited Ted down from Whitehorse to talk about bird monitoring in the Yukon.
Excellent. So what is the specific date of this lecture?
Today.
Oh, it's tonight. Okay.
Yes.
So time is of the essence.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what time and where?
It'll be at 7 at UAS Egan Lecture Room.
Okay, that's a great venue. So, Ted, welcome again to Alaska from up north.
Thank you.
And what is it you're going to be tell us about bird monitoring in the Yukon.
So I'm representing the Society of Yukon Bird Observatories, which is a nonprofit. And I'll be talking about our two bird migration monitoring stations in the Yukon and our demo site in Whitehorse. So there's three stations. The first one started in 2001 near Watson Lake at Albert Creek. And the second one started in 2005 in the small town of Teslin along Teslin Lake. And then we have a demo site right within the city limits of Whitehorse.
Okay. And so this bird monitoring activity is done, obviously, so humans know what's happening with the bird populations. Is it fed back to the provincial or the federal government in Canada and incorporated into actual management plans and resource decisions?
We hope. but yes, our information that we gather is shared with the territorial government, the federal government, and any organization that is interested in the work that we do. We're part of a nationwide network called the Canadian Migration Monitoring Network. So it's a group of bird observatories spread throughout Canada. Teslin Lake and Albert Creek are unique in that we're the only ones in the northwestern boreal. So we get some pretty valuable information from that region.
And do you feel like there's a big difference in the way bird populations are monitored in Canada from the United States?
Well, the one thing is about that network, the Canadian network, we all use pretty well the same protocols and methods of monitoring. So it's the same thing done year after year from station to station. So in that way, our American neighbors don't have such an organized network as the Canadians do.
Yeah, we're a lot less organized. We do have migration stations in the U.S., quite a few of them along the different coastal routes, but they're a little bit more diverse in their methods. We could learn from our neighbors in that respect. And I should also mention that at the monitoring stations, what's meant by that, one thing is to set up mist nets in the same place every year, and that's like it's kind of like a gill net for birds. The birds are not harmed, they're just tagged and released. And then there's also observation, standard observation with like binocular and spotting scope with expert birders. Yes. So that's what they mean by a bird observatory.
Okay, now that's good to know. This is certainly news to me. And of course, as you mentioned, the possibility of our learning more from our Canadian neighbors, that's what tonight's lecture is about, not just for professionals, but for anyone in the community who wants to come and learn more of courtesy of the Juneau Audubon Society.
Yes.
That's right. And we rely heavily on volunteers. So every year we get people from all over the world, and Gwen here has visited us and helped us out every year now since 2002 or 2003.
Yes, a long time. Yeah. And some other people in Juneau have gone across the hill as well. And it's fun for us because the bird community is quite different. Even though as the crow flies, it's a very short distance. Our crows don't fly back and forth across the ice field. There are birds that distribute down through the Yukon, but it's the minority of the species. So it's a little bit different experience for us birding over there.
No, then that certainly makes sense. That barrier keeps a lot of, or at least historically has kept a lot of populations out. You know, now we hear about moose and brown bears in Mendenhall Valley. So with climate change, that may be starting to change for birds and for other animals. But for now, at least, there's still a pretty bright line, it sounds like.
Yeah, there are some birds that come down the interior mainland rivers, such as the Chilkat or the Taku, the Stikine. And that's very interesting because those boreal species are going a really long ways because they crossed all through Canada, went and visited Ted in the Yukon, and then ended at the end of the line is over here. So there are a few species like that, like American Redstarts. Some people may be familiar with those beautiful birds that live out near the glacier.
Outstanding. So is there a website listeners could go to if they want to learn a little bit more about tonight's lecture or the lecture series in general?
JunoAudubonSociety.org. We always put our monthly programs on there and a lot of other birdwatching information. And we could share links to the Society of Yukon Bird Observatory. And mm-hmm. You guys have a website.
Yeah, too. We have a website, mm-hmm. Yukon Bird Observatories. I can't remember now. If
dot
it's org or dot
Google
com.
It.
Google it. That's a pretty unique set
it's
of words.
It's unique. You won't get
You'll
any other ones.
Right.
And so the lecture will be this evening at 7 p.m. in the Egan Lecture Hall out at UAS. It's Ted Murphy-Kelly down from Whitehorse speaking to a group convened by the Judo Audubon Society. Ted and Gwen, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Oh, please come out and learn some stuff about birds.
All right, and don't delay because it's tonight at 7. So thank you both for being on the air, and I hope you have a good crowd tonight out at UAS.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Juno Arts and Humanities Council is seeking artists to show their work in the Jack Gallery for the 2018-2019 season. Artists may apply by submitting a resume, artist statement, and 8 images of the artist's work. Shows open with a first Friday reception and are open for public viewing for about a month. The deadline to apply is April 15th, which can be done online. For more information, go to jahc.org or call the Arts Council at 586-2787. And a quick look at the weather about 14 minutes before the hour, this Ides of March. Right now, we are looking at partly cloudy, mostly sunny outside, a high temperature of about 42 degrees. The nicest thing that I would note is that the glaciers down in the driveways around town have started to melt, which is really good. So the forecast for the weekend is actually for sunny conditions tomorrow, a high near 42, cloudy tomorrow night. I saw earlier a chance of a wintry mix on Saturday, but then sunny again on Sunday. So that bodes well for skiing and doing things out of doors in Juneau this weekend. And so stay tuned. We're going to have Megan Chambers here in just a moment with Arts Up. The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council presents Clink, the annual wine tasting fundraiser. Clink will feature 46 fascinating wines presented by specialty imports, delicious hors d'oeuvres, and live music. It's the perfect way to experience new and exciting wines in the company of friends while supporting the campaign to build a new Jack. Clink will be Friday, April 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Jack. Tickets available at the JAHC box office, online at jahc.org, or by calling 586-2787. It's about 13 and a half minutes before the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Thursday, the 15th of March, and you're listening to a Juneau Afternoon. And now I get to welcome my coworker and friend, Megan Chambers, who's going to tell us Arts Up. What's going on, Megan?
Anything and everything, per usual.
Indeed.
Good job, Juneau.
Yes, it's busy as always. So just like when Nancy's here, we'll say, we don't have time to delay. Let's jump right into what's going on.
Okay, well, Cyrano de Bergerac opens today, I believe.
I think actually today's the final preview.
Correct. It's the final preview. I will admit I'm reading as I speak. So presenters, if I mix up a number, I apologize. But Cyrano de Bergerac, the final pay as you can tonight, 7:30 at the theater. They have been working very hard. They did use the Jack to practice some stage combat. So it should be a rather exciting play.
Absolutely.
Bravo.
No, I think it's going to be very good. It's a new adaptation of a classic story of love and panache.
Yes, and I've seen some of the costumes on Instagram from Brown Boots. They look great. Good job, Val and crew, so don't miss it. Speaking of plays, Next to Normal by Juno Douglas Little Theater. It's the final weekend to see that. I saw it last week. It's incredible. It's at McFeerders Hall, and it plays Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So.
And you did get to see it last weekend.
Yes, it's great. Live band, small set. It's performed almost in the round. Little peninsula type stage. There's probably a technical term for it, mm-hmm. but it's great. You get to be really up close to the actors, and it deals with some really relevant topics, I think. And there's some literature from the National Alliance for Mental Health. So
excellent, and it's really great to see Juno Douglas Little Theater back fully producing shows.
Yes.
You know, there was a period of time several years ago where that wasn't the case, and congratulations to that arts organization for getting its act together and sharing this production with the community.
Bravo. Bravo. It's great. And the acting is phenomenal. Shout out to all the cast members there. Saturday, it's St. Paddy's Day, so there's a couple St. Paddy's celebrations going on. The Sham Jam is a fundraiser at the Canvas. It's 21 and up. There's an open bar, dancing, all kinds of stuff. So please support a lovely nonprofit here in town and go dance your booty off to Sham Jam at the Canvas. After that's at 8 p.m. So you can dance over there, and then you can dance over at Rockwell with Juno's favorite Irish rock band, Fire on McGinnis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's St. Paddy's Day Bash in the Rockwell Ballroom starting at 8:15 and going late.
Will there be corned beef?
Ooh, we better call Fire on McGinnis and see.
All right. I bet they'll have some on the menu downstairs at Rockwell.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure
at a minimum, I'm sure you can get some downstairs.
So eat first and then go dance.
Yep.
Or eat in between your dancing. Sunday, we have Artists of All Nations at the Jack. It is open to the public. Bring your project. Chat with your peers. It starts at 1. Usually there's amazing potluck food. So bring a snack if you plan to go. And that ends at 5, 1 to 5. Tuesday, we have Arts Roundtable at the Jack. And that's a monthly public drop in, say hi, see what's going on in the arts world. And our featured speaker will be Electra Gardiner, who helps run Juno Fine Arts Camp. So she'll talk about opportunities coming up with the Fine Arts Camp. Jumping over to Wednesday, we have miniature book binding at Color Wheel Arts. I think there is still a chance to register. And there's some adorable pictures of books as tiny as pennies.
Little tiny books.
Little teeny. If you like teeny tiny things, then make some little books with Color Wheel Arts. That is a new arts class and co-op on Douglas. Sherry McDonald founded it. It's in the old wheelhouse building. Or I'm not a Juno native, so I don't remember what this building is, but.
You mean the one where Douglas Indian Association used to be next to the creek there in Douglas?
Yes, okay. I believe so.
Okay.
Anyway, Sherry's taken over part of it. It's a great space, and she offers all kinds of classes there. So often they're just a couple days or even one day. And then, of course, Friday at noon, not tomorrow, but the next Friday, we have a Kimball Organ Concert. Those are always free. It's in the state office building. And if you'd like to hear some organ, then head over there at noon on Friday.
That's J. Allen McKinnon.
Yep.
Who knows that organ better than anyone.
Probably.
Yes. Okay, that's good. Well, that's a pretty busy week coming up.
It is.
And anything farther out on the horizon you want to mention?
Yes, we have a fundraiser. We just played a little PSA, but I'll go into it a little bit more on April 6th. It's called Clink. It's our annual wine tasting event. So, of course, this year we're calling it Vintage 2018. The wines are, in fact, older than 2018. So don't worry.
There's 46 of them, I think I heard myself say in that PSA that I displayed.
Yes, 46 wines. They're incredible. They do special pricing at the event, so it's a great time to order wine, especially if you know some of your favorites are going to be there. You want to try some new favorites. It's great. Great way to shop around before you commit to buying a case. And there will be some wines available for purchase to take home that day. Luke Weld has graciously agreed to serenade us with gorgeous jazz music that
Excellent.
Night.
So live music and delicious wines and hors d'oeuvres. And, of course, I'll just, in the interest of full disclosure, being an employee of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, as you are, we are in the process of raising money for the new Jack. And so we want to make sure we have every event is very successful this year, and it's fully subscribed, if not oversold. So if the 46 wines and the music weren't enough reason to come to Clank, that's another reason I'm just throwing out there.
Yes. All the proceeds from this event will help support the New Jack, which is an incredible project. Ben's been working really hard on it, along with another large team of people, and we at the Jack staff are so excited for our future in a new building.
Yes, but it really does take people coming out and supporting it. So, and I guess one more thing I could mention is on Monday evening, there's actually going to be a hearing of the Public Works and Facilities Committee of the CBJ Assembly, at which the committee will hear a testimony, public comment on the proposal to have our employer, the Juneau Arts Humanities Council, take over management of Centennial Hall. Which many people in the community strongly support, and hopefully those supporters will go and let their elected representatives know how they feel about that on Monday.
Yes, open to the public. Please come, either listen or speak, and let us know what you think. 4 o'clock at the Assembly Chambers.
Actually, the meeting's going to start at 4:30, but I think the doors will open at 4 o'clock.
Great.
So, anything else, Megan?
That's it for now.
Okay. Well, that's Arts Up. Thank you so much for being here, and we're happy that you're able to do it, and I'm able to do it, and Nancy's away getting some well-deserved rest—a moment or two of respite for her.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. Well, then, thanks again, Megan, and Arts Up. If you want to, I guess go to jahc.org and look at the community calendar. If you were not taking notes when Megan was just going through that incredible list of activities. Very good. Thanks.
About 4 minutes before the hour, and you are still listening to a Juneau Afternoon for a little while longer here. So, yeah, we had some interesting guests today. Kevin Meyer was here from the UAS Sustainability Committee talking about the screening of Upriver that will take place on Thursday the 29th at 7 p.m. in the Egan Lecture Hall out at UAS. Sally Schlichting was here talking about this weekend's upcoming Symphony Showcase, which will be Saturday night at Aldersgate United Methodist Church and Sunday at Northern Light United Church downtown. Ted Murphy Kelly and Gwen Bayless were here on behalf of the Juneau Audubon Society to mention his speech this evening at 7 p.m. also out at UAS about bird monitoring in the southern part of the Yukon Territory. Colette Costa was here with Alan Davis on behalf of the Goaltown Nickelodeon and SEGLA, the Southeast Alaska Gay and Lesbian Alliance, talking about the SEGLA Film Festival, which is going on all month, starting tomorrow night. Then there's a film on the 20th, on the 22nd, on the 27th, and ending on Friday the 30th with a special screening of Torch Song Trilogy, and there will be a bar at that. And finally, as you just heard, Megan Chambers from the Juneau Arts Humanities Council with Arts Up, about a panoply of arts activities that we can look forward to starting tonight and going on for the next week. So thanks so much to listening for a Juneau Afternoon this Thursday the 15th of March. I'm Ben Brown. Been my pleasure to be here with you. And we look forward to all the fun things that are going on here in Alaska's capital city.